6 minutes past 12 midday. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line. Open line today through till 1. Call 66 13 68. You can text 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. Just tell me what's on your mind today. All sorts of stuff. Well, not least the weather, which is lovely. So, 71 days with no further confirmed positive tests for coronavirus. The Isle of Man has no active cases. Total number of confirmed cases remains at 336. There have been 8,174 concluded tests, 7 people waiting results, and 22 people at the moment on the list for a test, 14 of whom are part of the extended testing regime. And it sounds very simple if you say it quickly. That's where we are. But an astonishing achievement that we have on the Isle of Man when you consider what's happening elsewhere. And we'll come to that fairly shortly. But anything else on your mind? Just a quick reminder, next Wednesday, Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford, the man who's been in the middle of all this, along with the Chief Minister since the very beginning. David Ashford will be live on the Man in Line next Wednesday. So the government's coronavirus media briefings are no more. No longer an appointment to listen to Manx Radio at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, apart from the Alex Brindley, Alex in the Afternoon Show, of course. But no more coronavirus media briefings. The Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, made the announcement at yesterday's media conference, saying it will be the last for now. So basically, that's the end of season one. So next time something's there is a media conference, they've probably got something to say. Instead, government plans to work with the island's media outlets and use advertising where necessary, they say. This is your Chief Minister.
There is increasingly less and less to tell you at these briefings. That is why they have evolved, moving from sometimes being twice daily in the early days to once a day, to every weekday, twice weekly, and now just weekly. Now, I judge this to be a positive development. The uncertainty, the concern, the clamour for new information has waned as life has transitioned back to normality. I hope they have been fundamental in keeping you up to date and informed and have allowed us to come together as a community. They have been a vitally important platform for which to advise, inform, reassure, and importantly, be held to account. But with the vast majority of restrictions lifted and a prolonged and sustained period of no new cases, it seems an appropriate juncture to consider how we approach keeping you up to date. Upon careful consideration, the decision has been taken that today's coronavirus briefing will be the last for the time being. We will, of course, continue to issue reminders on key advice and updates through government social media channels by working with the island's news outlets and, where appropriate, through advertisements. Should there be a change in our situation, you can be assured that our approach to communication will flex accordingly.
The Chief Minister, and there it is. Suddenly, no more media briefings every week, of course, as he mentioned. They used to be daily, and in the early days, twice a day as well. I just wonder how this is going to change everything. No more media conferences until further notice. I just wonder whether you're going to miss the media briefings as well. It's been part of your life since March, and the government seems to be saying it's obviously time to move on now, and we have to start slackening things off. Things may change. It may be that the 14 days goes down to 7 days. That's the current thinking as well. But they're watching and learning. I'd like to open a Man in Line vote today. I'm just wondering whether you'll miss the media conferences. So text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Will you miss that contact from senior politicians? We've had Chief Minister, Health and Social Care Minister has been on, of course. The Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Allinson, was on. There's been Lawrence Skelly, the Enterprise Minister, Treasury Minister, the man with the money, Alfred Cannon. Those conferences have been part of our lives for, well, it seems like forever. It's really the best part of 4 months. So text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Are you going to miss those media conferences? It's lighthearted but serious as well, because no doubt, you know, the government likes to know that everybody's getting the message. And at the back of all this, I just wonder how seriously now we're taking the COVID pandemic. On the Isle of Man, we are in a remarkable position, ourselves and Guernsey and maybe Greenland, I think, as well. The disease is here, there and everywhere. And you only need to look at what's happening in Northern England under a new lockdown restriction now. A large number of people across the north of England are under that new lockdown. The subject of a slight increase in infection rates in England came up at the briefing yesterday. Details from Tim Glover.
UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock made the announcement at around 9 o'clock last night.
We've been looking at the data, and unfortunately, we've seen across parts of northern England an increase in the number of cases of coronavirus. So today I held a meeting of the government's Gold Committee, and working with local leaders, including, for instance, Andy Burnham, the Mayor of Greater Manchester, we've decided that we need to take action across Greater Manchester, East Lancashire, and parts of West Yorkshire. So from midnight tonight, we are banning households meeting up indoors. We take this action with a heavy heart, but unfortunately it's necessary, because we've seen that households meeting up and a lack of social distancing is one of the causes of this rising rate of coronavirus, and we'll do whatever is necessary to keep the country safe.
The move affects around 4 million people and means two different households can't either meet in private gardens, they can't mix in pubs or restaurants either, but they can still visit them. I asked the Chief Minister Howard Quayle and Health Minister David Ashford about the rising cases in Europe and a slight upward curve in England at the press conference yesterday. The Isle of Man is currently at level 4 regarding borders, meaning residents can travel across but must self-isolate for 14 days on return. The borders remain closed to people coming in except for exemptions. I asked the Chief Minister if they had an infection level across in mind where we might revert back to a full border closure. There were 763 new cases reported in the UK on Wednesday.
I would like to reassure the public we are constantly monitoring infection rates in the United Kingdom and further afield. And if our medics and our public health give us the advice that maybe it's time to sadly go back a phase, then we will. But obviously it'll be different to how we first reacted in March. We've got a lot more information and data now, and we will be able to make those changes with a... you know, as I say, based on the experiences that we have, so they won't be maybe as draconian as we had to introduce in the early days when we were still finding our way. I don't know, David, if you want to expand on that.
Yeah, so if you look at the UK data, Tim, and if you go back to where you mentioned at the start of June, for instance, the following day after you mentioned, I think it was the 2nd of July, 3rd of July, 521, 5th of July, 518, then 8th of July, 632. But what matters is not the daily figures, and I think I said this about the Isle of Man when we were doing the briefings, it's the 7-day rolling average that we actually are taking. And if you look at the 7-day rolling average through the United Kingdom over the last month and a half, it's pretty much stayed the same. So as the Chief Minister said, they've plateaued. They are going to have days where there's going to be a couple of hundred more or a couple of hundred less, but that 7-day rolling average at the moment is showing it as being a straight line.
The number of new cases in the UK yesterday was 846.
Tim Glover there, looking back at what the situation is in the UK. So Greater Manchester, East Lancashire and West Yorkshire, two households can't mix, not even in the garden. And you say, Andy, so why is that relevant? Well, this afternoon at 2:20, a flight leaves the Isle of Man for Manchester. And that flight comes back at 4:20 this afternoon. So that's where we are. Text 166177, email studio at maxradio.com. Will you miss these media briefings? It was Monday, March the 16th. March the 16th, when they first appeared. And everybody thought it was, you know, a bit special to have the Chief Minister and ministers addressing us every day on what was a new situation, and nobody knew where it was going to end up. Yes, I will miss the briefing, says Pam, whilst not always reassuring, certainly in the early days, personally, I feel I've been kept abreast of the situation. And yes, I will miss them, says Sharon. Also, Decker the painter. I'm going to miss the sound of David Ashford's voice. Am I the only person who thinks David Ashford's voice is very reassuring? I don't know. I just find David Ashford's voice, I don't know whether his tone and his manner, but he's very reassuring, as certainly as a vocal performer as well. Alan, in Rugby, in Warwickshire, I'll miss him because I listen to Max Radio in Rugby. Being off the Isle of Man, it's always a good way to keep up to date and actually a better view of things than we have in the UK. Thank you, Alan. I will miss the briefings, says Karen. They've done a great job. Well done, Chief Minister, to Health Minister and all as well. I will miss the briefings. Definitely will miss them, says Martin as well. G, Anonymous G, dropped me a note and says, why is Manx Radio promoting the proposed Isle of Wight racing to listeners across the Northwest and Northern Ireland? A brief reference to the proposal will be sufficient. No need for Steve Plater to enthuse about early interest. I just wonder how you feel about this. We've been talking about this proposed, and it looks like it's going to go ahead. The best part of £4 million they're trying to raise in the Isle of Wight to put this on. And it looks very serious. Gary Thompson, Steve Plater, lots of people, Neil Tuxworth, all involved in this proposal to have road racing at the end of the season, October 2021. Here's an interesting call.
My name's Steve. I live in Castletown. I'm calling about the Isle of Man road race. I think there's might be a good opportunity for the island to actually market the TT name. They could actually charge a fee and benefit from merchandising and that type of thing by calling it the Isle of Wight TT, and just sort of getting some kickback from that side of things.
I just wonder what you think about that. Do you think it's an opportunity for the Isle of Man maybe to market the TT name? Allow the Isle of Wight to use the TT. Do you think that would help the Isle of Man or would it hinder? This correspondent G says, we shouldn't be talking about it because it's promoting the Isle of Wight. Well, it is October. It is, and having a race on the Isle of Man in October, I think, will be pretty unreasonable in terms of weather. Again, that caller, Steve, saying we should market it. Maybe get in on the action as well and use the Isle of Wight, what they call in the Diamond Race, to promote the TT. Have a thought. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, call 66 13 68. Here's Howard with us now. Afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just a curio for the rest of your listeners, and if you say not that old so-and-so on again, but has anybody noticed in the last 3, possibly 4 weeks, the number of people, largely men, etc., going around sporting tanned legs, arms, heads, etc., and being on holiday, obviously, somewhere, because you wouldn't have got that tan here on the island. And I'm not talking about young men. I'm talking between youngish men and the pensioners. So it makes me ask why... we have a legislation where you can go off the island, you've got to come back again. And previously, it was for key workers. But all these number of people, and I saw about 6 yesterday at one of the large supermarkets, all going around posting a tan with the legs and the shorts on. I've just come back of holiday. So are the people going on and going off the island and coming back quite freely?
I've heard recently, Howard, some people, some Manxes who have holiday homes in Spain and Portugal, I think some of those people are finally being able to come back. So it may be Manxes who've got holiday homes who've been soaking up the sunshine in Spain for 4 months.
These are families.
Oh, really?
There was a couple down there yesterday. This was yesterday afternoon with young children with them. So even my wife said, that's not a suntan, you know, going on a bed. And it's not one out of a bottle. That's a proper suntan from somewhere where it's warm. And certainly the weather hasn't been suitable here for going out sunbathing. So it's painfully obvious that they're leaving the island, having a holiday, and then coming back to the island. But who is regulating all this?
Well, if they observe the self-isolation rule, if after they've been on holiday, come back and self-isolate for 14 days, mm-hmm. that's fine.
Yes, I agree with it, yes. Because I'd love to go away to our daughters, but at the present moment I wouldn't want to go. She's in Staffordshire, and it's hotter than the Mediterranean there at the moment, but so was the coronavirus. So if they're passing through the airports, they're passing through various checks, etc., who is regulating the return to the Isle of Man? Because up until not so very long ago, it was key workers only.
I'd like to know as well, you know, when people are coming back as well, if you know anybody who's come back, do they get contact from, I mean, are they phoned by people in authority to say, you know, you said you were going to be? I wonder whether that happens.
Well, they're supposed to be, and that was in part of the regulations, that they will be contacted on an ad hoc basis. But that means absolutely nothing, because if you don't answer your phone, it doesn't mean that you're not in. It just means that you're not answering your phone. And I could have it on silent, they say. But they could be way off somewhere meeting up with friends. And that's all it takes. And the island has been extremely lucky. We have been extremely careful. But within the population of this very small island, there are bound to be selfish people. It's not going to happen to them.
All right, Howard, thanks for calling us.
Thanks,
then. All right, have a good weekend now. Let's get to, I think, Eric's with us. Hello, Eric.
Just to answer Howard there, I've got a really good tan and I haven't been anywhere apart from the golf course.
Where did you get the tan from, Eric?
Ramsey. Sunny Ramsey.
Down by the pier. Okay.
Yeah. Right. What I was ringing for is when the NHC opened again after the virus, and the cafe never opened, and he said it was going to open on the 20th. Anyway, I was in there the day before yesterday, and I was told the cafe isn't opening again. It's staying closed.
Getting closed?
It's closed. It hasn't opened. One of the people told me that they're not opening again, and I know from figures seen in Tynwald that it was losing money. It's a government-run cafe, but it was losing money. At the minute now, it's sitting there empty. It's not losing money, but it's not making any money. I think you should just offer that to somebody at a very, very low rent to get it up and running again and let them get a business started. Because it is needed when you go there. You know, there was always a lot of people there eating or drinking, drinking coffee. You know, I just don't know why, other than losing money, I don't know why they would close the facility. I mean, the NSC is brilliant, but, and you know, without a cafe.
Who ran the catering there before?
The government, I believe.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. All right, we'll try and find out, Eric.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for being with us today. If you're in the NSC, is the cafe open? Is the restaurant open? Text 166177. Oh, everybody likes David Ashford's voice, by the way. Everybody, the consensus seems to be that people find David Ashford's voice very reassuring. Maybe they're Guernsey people with the tan. It's sunny down there, says Billy as well. Can I drive to France from France to Dover, then to Heesham and back to the Isle of Man without self-isolating? In the UK, the UK regulations, I think you can't you? It's a DS, but obviously you've got to fill out the requisite forms to come back to the Isle of Man. I've been away. I haven't been away, and I've got a tan, says Ian. It was amazing, wasn't it? A good Manx tan, in our case, never moved off the Isle of Man, says. And, of course, for those first couple of months, it was the driest we'd had for years and years and years. Tricia! Me and my husband have a suntan. We haven't been off the Isle of Man. You've been sunbathing. That's what it is. I just wonder, there's always like a good Manx rumour. Is there anything more sinister afoot? Are we not being told about the Isle of Man TT? Actually, I think today our industrious news editor, Tim Glover, is, I think, going to speak to Paul Phillips, the man inside government who's in charge. Obviously, Rob Callister is the government minister, is the elected official. But we're trying to talk to Paul Phillips today about the TT next year as well, just what shape the TT will be in 2021. I think a weekly briefing should be still happening at least just to keep people up to speed, says that correspondent. And Terry the Turtle says, you should see the tan on me, and it's all Manx as well. Have the Emergency Powers Act, has it been revoked? If so, under what powers do the 14-day self-isolation come into? Well, the Emergency Powers Act was rescinded on Friday the 26th of June. Of course, that big day, Monday the 16th of March, was the day we first had the government media briefing, and the Lieutenant Governor, Sir Richard Gosnell, first signed the State of Emergency Proclamation. Looked very medieval. On Monday the 16th of March, extended on Monday, on the 15th of April, 16th of May and 15th of June, but it was rescinded a little over 10 days later on Friday the 26th of June. And my husband is really brown and he hasn't left the island. It's a proper Manx tan, says that. Oh, my word. How much would they pay for the TT copyrights? Says Crystal. I wonder how much. Just a thought. It was that correspondent, Steve, who said if they're going to have a time trial kind of TT style event on the Isle of Wight, they're calling it the Diamond Races. Why don't we just charge them and say you can call it the Isle of Wight TT and plug the Isle of Man TT while we're there? What do you think?
Something wonderful happens when the sun shines. The Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale is now on, with sensational sunny savings and promotional offers throughout our showroom. With full safety measures in place, it's the perfect time to discover a beautiful new piece for your home in our vibrant and eclectic ranges of living, dining and bedroom furniture, art and accessories. The Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale, on now with free island-wide delivery and 0% interest-free credit subject to status. Open 7 days a week.
Local business? Nicola Bowker & Co. Need an accountant? Nicola Bowker & Co. Want accounts you can trust? Nicola Bowker & Co. Whether a sole trader or large company, for your free initial meeting, call today on 861 271.
With so much uncertainty, making travel arrangements has been difficult recently. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company understand this and have introduced the Book With Confidence commitment to provide greater flexibility and peace of mind. Our Book With Confidence commitment means amendment fees will be waived if your plans have to change due to COVID-19 government-imposed travel restrictions. We'll even give you a full refund should your booking with us be cancelled. Visit steam-packet.com for details and full terms and conditions.
Set in a beautifully restored Manx barn, just a mile from St John's on the Patrick Road, the cafe at Close Lease Farm isn't just another cafe. With 28 Great Taste Awards, it's a real destination for lovers of fine food. Whether breakfast, lunch, functions or private hire, we celebrate Manx ingredients by using produce from Close Lease Farm and across the island. Also visit the farm shop, where you can buy some of our award-winning produce to enjoy at home. For opening times and more, visit closeleasefarm.com or find us on Facebook.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
At Athol Garage, we've a fantastic offer available this month. Every car sold comes with a free 3-year service plan. Yes, you heard that right. 3 years free servicing. Visit our showroom or athol.im. Find us on Facebook or call
Athol Garage, Ballasalam, 820082.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And we're here every weekday with the morning's main stories.
We invited over James Hillier, obviously being the current rider. He was blown away. He loves the place to pieces.
With the vast majority of restrictions lifted and a prolonged and sustained period of no new cases, it seems an appropriate juncture to consider how we approach keeping you up to date.
So when this opportunity came along, it wasn't a difficult decision, and we're delighted to be involved.
We'll be back on Monday from 7:30, rounding up all the latest developments, along with the weather for the day ahead and all the travel news.
So join us on Monday for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
And this coming Sunday, can I just remind you, Beach Buddy is going to be in session from 10:30 till noon, the first beach cleaning event on the northwest coastline for many months. Now that the bird nesting season regulations have been lifted, if you want to join Billy's band of beach buddies binning bags of bad stuff, it'll be interesting to see how much rubbish has gathered during the past 6 months without any official beach cleaning volunteers. Meeting point's the end of the concrete roadway at Smale. If you're not familiar with a part of the world, there's a map at Beach Buddies' website and also on their Facebook. That's this Sunday, 10:30 to noon, just 90 minutes. You'll need to provide your own gloves. I think so. Anyway, I don't think they're providing gloves at the moment with the way things are, but everything else is provided. Just 90 minutes, 10:30 till noon this coming Sunday. And a quickie also, due to logistical problems in the UK, the lorry bringing over the papers to the Isle of Man didn't make the overnight sailing from Heysham. So the papers are coming over on the mid-morning sailing from Liverpool. I think they'll be getting into the Isle of Man. The sailing from Liverpool left Liverpool at 11:08, arrives at 12:12. So the papers are going to be late and here this afternoon. Here's Brian with us. Hello, Brian.
I'm back again. I'd just like to update you. I had a meeting along with some of my fellows of the Manx Association. We had a meeting with Mrs. M. Maska, pronouncing that correctly, MLC, and Collister MHK. We spent the afternoon up in the wedding cake discussing all the aspects of it. Now, that was a very interesting meeting. Certainly, I saw a great deal of change within the views of the our government members. I think a lot of people have gone, particularly Timwald members, have gone into the details and the implications of what's being proposed. It's a pity we haven't got to the minister, because I'm hoping that somewhere along the way, some of these shortcomings may just start ringing true with him, and maybe he can come to the table. I'll just outline some of the areas of concern that were acknowledged by our government members. First of all, the holding of deposits would be more problematic for tenants than it would for landlords, because if government are going to be the stakeholder, then at the end of a tenancy, most tenants need that deposit back very quickly because they want to issue it to another landlord. If we're going to have an arbitration process and government's going to hold that money, then I would say the process should be rather more lengthy than it is currently. I'm happy for that, but I don't know if tenants would be. There's also issues with regard to under their current rules, the person benefit not be excluded.
Brian, we're going to have to lose you. Your mobile phone signal is skipping all over the place. So if you can call us back on a landline, that'd be really useful. The technology is not there. That's Brian Stoll talking about the Manx Landlords Association and the proposed government legislation that sees that there's going to be a register of private landlords, which takes me on to how much it's going to cost to address the problems with properties in the private sector. Apparently, £70 million to address the problems with properties in the private sector, according to a survey which shows more than 5,500 of the homes are unfit or in need of repairs. It also shows that those on low incomes and the elderly are more likely to live in poor quality private accommodation. This is a government report. The Environment Minister, Geoffrey Boot, says there may be funding available to help address the issues as the island attempts to recover from the economic impact of COVID-19. £70 million. I think Brian's with us, back with us now. Hello, Brian.
Hello, I'm back again. I'm stood on a chair. Have I got better signal?
That's good. Landlines are far better than mobiles.
Oh, don't let Manx Telecom hear you say that. Yes, I'm not a lover of technology in many respects. So go back to the tin cans, shall we? Yes, so deposits. There's a potential there for protracted delays, particularly
if they're going to have an arbitration process and an inspection process, I don't think many tenants would be happy to have their deposit locked up in the system for that length of time. Benefit tenants, there's an obligation under the terms of the bill that landlords cannot preclude people because they're on benefit. Now, the perception was that landlords preclude people because they're in a different demographic social group. That's not the case. Government are letting down both landlord and tenant because they make payments in arrears and they don't inform anybody if they're stopping making the payments. So, in effect, and this has happened to me several times over the last 12 months, when they decide they're going to stop making payments, the first I know of it is when the tenant is a month in arrears. Of course, by virtue of the fact that they were on benefit, it's very unlikely that they're ever going to be able to make that shortfall up. So that's one of the reasons that we're dissuaded from taking anybody who's on benefits, because the benefit scheme isn't a constant.
Did the government understand? Did they know? Were they aware of that particular situation?
Well, I can only speak for the response that I got from Mr. Collister and his Legislative Council member. They were completely taken unawares. They had no idea. And there were other times when we discussed all the implications of this bill. They were obviously unaware of the implications that this is likely to have and the complications it's going to create. You see, not everything is as the perfect little box. I have a house in Royal Avenue, and it's a semi-detached house. So if government are going to come in and say, right, OK, you have to have X, Y, and Z done to this property to meet with our criteria, well, how does that leave the adjoined property? Does he have to raise his to the same standards? And he's, you know, a private owner. If it comes to that, why would I have to do something to my property when the rest of the street doesn't? And that gets even more complicated where we've got, fortunately, I don't have any in this situation, but there are a number of apartments in blocks where a landlord will own perhaps two of them and the others will be in private ownership. Well, if the property has to be raised to a standard that's down set in stone, then that's going to have an effect on private individuals who are living in their private dwellings, having to pay for an upgrade that isn't of their desire.
Where do you think this is going to go, Brian?
Oh, I think if it goes through in its current form, it will undoubtedly reduce the number of rental properties available. By virtue of the fact that they're introducing a cost to the landlord in the registration, in the works that have to be done, in the inspections that have to be done, it will end up in a cost to the tenant, because at the end of the day, the landlord has to make a profit or he goes out of business. And where you've got mixed occupancy and all these grey areas, it's all right saying we can sort that out afterwards. And as they said, but these maximum penalties, you know, 3 years imprisonment, £50,000 fine if you fail to register within the 6 month period. Oh, we wouldn't use that. That's only for extreme cases, I was told. But it's a heck of a sword of Damocles to be proposing when you see the penalties that aren't being applied in certain cases. And when it comes to government's own performance, potholes and hedges and all sorts of other, and a power station, they don't have a penalty hanging over them for non-performance, but they want to inflict it on everybody else.
Okay. All right, Brian. Well, keep us up to speed with things as they go along, and it's good to hear from you today.
Well, I just hope that more MHKs and MLCs will start to question the bill and come round and talk to us and find out about our feelings, because if they don't, they're going to create a crisis of their own making. Thank you very much indeed for your time and trouble.
Good to talk to you. Thank you, Brian. Yes, we will miss the government media conferences. They kept us well informed with questions as well. They were excellent, Karen. A note in from Grey Bags says, I have a tan. It was hot during lockdown. I sat in the garden as well. Howard's got it all wrong, says this one. I've got a good tan by sitting in the garden during lockdown. Never been abroad, so it's a good Manx tan, says that as well. Let's see. Mark just says, Howard may be right or wrong about the location from which the suntans he observed were acquired. We have to acknowledge that a vaccine against COVID-19 may be far away. And that assumes that those with the objections to the vaccine don't prevent the uptake of the vaccine reaching the critical level. We have at some point to open up the island to the rest of the world. We have to take our chances. We're doing more harm than good than COVID-19 gave us harm every day that we stay isolated. The Isle of Man is far more prepared for the next outbreak and shouldn't require the lockdown as we had from March to May. We can't afford another lockdown, so we're going to have to grit our teeth sooner or later, open the borders and live with what comes, says that correspondent. Text us on 166177. Your question today, by the way, is the government media conferences are finished for the moment until further notice. So text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, conference miss or conference not miss. Will you miss those media conferences, that little warm blanket of security with a government minister telling us what's happening? Conference miss or conference not miss? Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. And the man in line rolls on.
My name's Steve. I live in Castletown. I'm calling about the Isle of Man road race. I think this might be a good opportunity for the island to actually market the TT name. They could actually charge a fee and benefit from merchandising and that type of thing by calling it the Isle of Wight TT, and just sort of getting some kickback from that side of things.
The Man in Line, daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
And I think I'm right in saying the television company involved in the Isle of Wight race, Manx Radio. Well, I think it's green light.
Love local, love the island.
Find your perfect Isle of Man home by Murrick Lake. We have a modern development of 8 luxury, spacious apartments with lakeside views waiting for you, with garages available. Visit lakesideapartments.im for more info and show home opening hours.
Manx Radio are all about supporting and growing local businesses. Advertising on Manx Radio can reach 43% of the island. That's nearly 30,000 people. Talk to Ariane on 682 600 and find out how you can get your business on air.
Love local, live local. Discover the brand new Grand Island development of 9 luxury homes situated in a secluded area of Ramsey. Enjoy large living space and gardens with amazing views. Visit grandisland.im to arrange a viewing.
Love local, love the island.
If a holiday is no longer on the cards for you this year, perhaps it's time to treat yourself another way. Redecorate your home with help from Swales Flooring in Laxey. Stocking trusted brands including Antico and Carr's Flooring, designed to last and impress. Swales are also the sole island distributor for Farrow and Boar, the traditional wallpaper and paint specialists. And if your home is already blessed with original wood flooring, talk to us about how we can restore them to their former glory. Visit the Swales showroom or call 861-542.
Everyone knows that at Isle of Man Creamery, our milk is green. Natural and wholesome from grass-fed Manx cows on local family farms. But you might not know that our cartons are now green too. We're introducing the first plant-based packaging in the British Isles, containing no oil-based plastics at all. Fresh Manx milk, now in the most environmentally friendly packaging available. Call 632000 or visit isleofmancreamery.com for doorstep deliveries.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Looking to reduce your carbon footprint and your energy bills? Nexium can help. With our exclusive Isle of Man heat loss software, we can identify the key heat loss areas in your home. As fully qualified installers of ground and air source heat pumps, solar energy, and the island's providers of Isonene spray foam insulation, let's make our island greener with Nexium. Visit homeofthefuture.im or call the Nexium team on 48 47 47.
With the school holidays underway, this weekend the Nation Station becomes the Staycation Station.
We're giving you the chance to win a one-night dinner, bed and breakfast stay at the Manin Hotel in Douglas.
You can choose an atrium or a balcony room and enjoy a three-course dinner at the Liberties Restaurant and a full Manx breakfast. To be in with a chance of winning, just listen out all day Saturday and Sunday to play our winning weekend wordplay.
Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning's breakfast show at 10 to 9.
So join us right across the weekend here on the Staycation Station.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Good afternoon. It's 13 minutes to 1 on Manx Radio. Davina dropped me a note and said, Andy, the NSC Cafe isn't open and won't be reopening. A great pity. Why? Presumably profits are well down before COVID due to the fiasco of the flumes. When is that going to be sorted? And why close the cafe now? Give it a chance, get back to normal, and for goodness sake, get the fun pool open. It's a great loss to children, says Davina. The Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Allenson, was on this week. He previously said, if I'm right, that it was going to be September and was kind of hedging his bets on Wednesday. It was kind of as soon as possible, hopefully by the end of the summer. So we'll just find out, where, of course, when it's all fixed. And, of course, it has been a bit of a fiasco regarding getting the flumes to actually fit. We'll see, basically, Davina. But it's a sad fact the NSC Cafe isn't open and won't be reopening for the near future. Here's Roger with us. Afternoon, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just a question, please. You may or may not know an answer, but you may remember about a month or so ago, some Jersey, our Jersey cousins came over. I believe they were key workers. And it was alleged that they breached their curfew of during their short stay here. It was referred to the police for investigation. And then a week or two later, I believe the investigation was stopped, which seems a bit strange, but nevertheless, haven't heard anything else since, and it just seems a bit strange that that there was an investigation and it stopped and nothing heard. And I didn't know whether any yourself or any of your listeners had...
Well, for the best of my recollection, I remember in a couple of cases, some people were fined. I don't know whether that was the case you were referring to. Some people did get fined. But was this the case of the owners of a care home from Jersey coming to the island?
Yes, I'm not whether they were owners, but I think they were professional advisors. The fines I think you're referring to was the two people that went for a takeaway and stopped to watch the football. Yes, they were fined and had a suspended sentence. But this one was actually the investigation was stopped, so there was no outcome whether they'd be fined or otherwise. But it was just like a stop on the investigation. And then it just sort of died a natural death and gone into the distance, so to speak.
Well, we'll see if we can get to the bottom of that. And if anybody knows, by all means, get in touch with us and we'll see about
really
that. What do you think that does? Because the government's been very open right from the very beginning about things on the island. And, of course, sent Manx residents to jail. They went to Jerby for breaching stuff.
Exactly.
So I think implicit in what you're saying is fair needs to be fair.
Yeah, I think it just leaves a question mark over things. As far as sending them to prison, I think it's very difficult when they've gone back home. And I think a fine and a suspended or maybe an exclusion order from the island, it would be very difficult, I think, I think, to bring them back and put them in prison. And would that be viable? I don't think so. I think it's just whatever the outcome, whatever the reasoning for the people from Jersey, and yes, I believe that they were to give professional advice on a nursing home, it just why it stopped and why nothing was said, particularly from a police investigation.
Okay, Roger, thanks.
It's a question mark. Yeah, sure, right. Sorry.
Jolly good. Thanks for being with us today. Good point. Alex dropped me a note and said, roads closing for the Isle of Wight for this road race in Isle of Wight. I wonder how they do that. Well, of course, the reason that the TT started was the Isle of Man could issue a roads closing order. It used to be that in the UK they had to have an Act of Parliament to close a public road. Apparently, from our investigations, that's changed now and they can close public roads in the UK for road racing. But we'll find out more as this Isle of Wight things goes on. Can we have a rule whereby anybody who calls Manx Radio should have a full mobile signal, a phone made within the last 10 years? That's, I know it's changed, but if you can phone from a landline, it is always so much better. Just because you can hear us doesn't mean we can always hear you. So lots of people, by the way, lots of love for David Ashford and the voice of David Ashford. So maybe I'll tell him that next Wednesday, at the end anyway as well. The note also said Isle of Man police can't get to Jersey, apparently. The news from our newsroom says, regarding the Jersey visitors, the Isle of Man police can't go to Jersey to speak to those in question until Jersey's COVID situation improves and subsequent border restrictions are eased. So the investigation is ongoing, but the Manx police can't go to Jersey because of COVID restrictions. A note also that says, conference miss. Lots of people are saying missing the conferences. It's a semi-serious. Of course, it's a non-scientific, completely random straw poll. But we're just asking whether or not you miss the media conferences. Much has been said about the fact it was very easy to close everything down because you knew where you stood when everything was closed and you couldn't go out, you couldn't get in the car, you had to have permission to go out. One shopping journey a day, be careful where you park so you don't block the emergency services. And at the back of all that was the daily media briefing, when senior ministers would do their media briefing on video and what have you, broadcast live on Manx Radio. The only radio station, of course, that did broadcast them live every day. It's gone now. So we don't have that contact with a government minister daily and recently weekly. Although Manx Radio will keep you up to date with exactly what's happening and where we stand with coronavirus as well. A note in that says, not a good idea to use the TT name for the Isle of Wight. People from off the Isle of Man already get the Isle of Man and Isle of Wight confused. This would just make things worse. It would weaken our position and cause even more confusion. As for suntans, there was a hosepipe ban over here a few weeks ago. Maybe that's the reason. TT is exclusive to the Isle of Man. It should stay that way. Do you really think so? Do you think people would get them mixed up? Do you think we could franchise the TT name, call it the Isle of Wight TT, and just plug the Isle of Man TT all the time? Maybe lots of people in the south of England have never known what it is to come to the Isle. Of course, it will be an immensity. The Isle of Man TT is obviously a much better race. It's a much more challenging course. It could only be compared. What they're doing is compared really to the Southern Hundred. It's just the thought. I mean, obviously, there are people on the Isle of Man make millions of pounds, considerable profit out of TT merchandise. Maybe it's an opportunity for, maybe them to get involved as well. It's a thought, and if you've got anything that you'd like to put to the Man in Line, you can contact us out of hours, or it's as easy as pie. You email maninline@manxradio.com, or you can email, call 682-631. That's our answer phone right throughout the weekend. What's the big deal about getting a tan, says Pam? If, like me, you have red hair and fair skin, the last thing you want is a tan. The last thing you get is a tan. You just burn bright red, which can cause cancer. On a positive note, I'll call you our celebrity strawberry blonde today, Pam. Thanks for that. That's it for the Man in Line. Weather's nice anyway. Make the most of it this weekend. Have a lovely weekend. The Man in Line will be back Monday, bright and bouncy at 12 midday. We've tabulated all the responses, by the way. Conference miss, conference won't miss. 100% of people who responded said they will miss the media conference. Well,
WIN.